Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley, where we debate the top five sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hanley. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley starts now.
Are the Bulls blowing it? And are you okay with a four-game and counting win streak?
That's interesting. I mean, we're talking about the draft pick, right? We're talking about the season of tank where they're supposed to be the worst team in the league, and now it's 7 wins. Suddenly, they're 7-20 after being 3-20. And usually, you'll love to see the local teams put together a winning streak, do some good things. Hey, don't forget, Zach LaVine is coming back at some point, right? He's practicing. He's getting ready to come back. There's a guy capable of scoring 50 points in an NBA game. That's going to be a problem in terms of your tank. I am okay with it. I understand that everybody loves to have a loser. Everybody wants, if you're going to be bad, you got to be really bad. I've never really enjoyed that aspect of professional sports, and I am very apprehensive about some of this stuff. I got to be honest with you. I watched this team play now the last 4 games, and they're playing good basketball. You know, Fred's scheme is absolutely working, and this is what the guy envisioned. You know, they had guys that you thought could shoot from the outside, and they just couldn't get on the floor. They couldn't do anything. I thought it was really interesting to hear Nico yesterday in the postgame talk about his interior defense and how he has improved that. And you see it. He is moving guys around down low. He has gotten stronger, and it's really paid off. I don't know how long it'll last, but Nico has become a pretty damn good player because he's no longer just getting thrown around like a rag doll. And as a result, I think that's given him confidence in other areas of his game. So
I've been telling you guys.
Yeah, he's
not
been telling
joking.
Us.
I'm serious.
But it was a really interesting comment that he made about how his, you know, defense in the post has improved.
Well, Fred was the first one to bring it up, saying, you know, that's why he won the starting job before he met Bobby Portis's fist. He said it wasn't just that he was shooting better, but he was defensively positioned the way he's supposed to be. He's engaged. You saw it, the post moves he made last night. You know, the fact.
I hate to cheer for losing is my point. As much as I understand intellectually what they're trying to do and what the point of the exercise is, I kind of like an underdog, and I kind of feel good that they put together this winning streak. I understand they're blowing the draft pick, and Atlanta's now behind them, and a couple other teams breathing down their neck. And they could get better, Brian, and they could, you know, you could end up with the top five, which is not what you want, but...
They're still only 7-20. The course of 82, you're going to be where you need to be. You might not be the first overall pick. You're going to be drafting top five. If I had to make a wager today, you're going to be a top five pick. And the bigger thing here is they're not blowing it. I mean, they're a nice little run here. They're entertaining to watch. They seem to be listening to the coach and engaged and responding to what he wants to do, as you said, Mully. The fact of the matter is, though, January 15th, if Nico continues to do what he's doing, he's not getting traded. I mean, this is the player you've been waiting on for years here in Chicago, right? Just the idea that, now, is it a one-month thing? And Steve Rosenblum wrote about the other day before last night's game that it's not March that historically has been Nico's month. It's been the first month of the season. And the second month of the season, there's this huge drop-off in his field goal percentage, 100 percentage points. So... You know, is he just because he's just started the season late? This is the usual Nico. He has his best month in the first month of the season. But, I mean, you look at the 5.8 rebounds. You look at the, you know, 12 of 23 from three-point range in this four-game stretch. If he's still doing this 3 or 4 weeks from now, he ain't going anywhere January 15th. He might go somewhere February, but they're going to let this thing breathe and see how it goes. And... if anyone's going to go sooner than later, it'll likely be Bobby Portis if, in fact, they still are not coexisting. I mean, they're saying the right things, but there's still really no sincere or genuine interaction between the two. But if they can just be professional about it, you're not, your hands aren't tied anywhere or any which way until you want them to be. So, you know, they're not blowing it. 82 games, you'll figure out that this team will level out to where it's supposed to be. You'll get a top pick, and you'll have to be smart enough to make that top pick work for you, whether it's number one, number five, number six, whatever it is. But no, it's entertaining basketball. It's good to see young guys doing what they're doing. Chris Dunn had another great night last night, or a very good night anyway. 13 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. So it's not the horrific basketball I envisioned this year, and it's worth watching.
How do we blame the front office for this? They trade Butler, Wade buyout, they're giving away picks for money, and then they still can't lose, even though that's what they want to do. I think a lot of this is also you have that divide in the NBA. There's a small group of teams that are stuck in the middle. Then you have the teams that are going for it, and then the teams that are tanking. And it's not a short list of teams that are trying to lose, unfortunately, for the Bulls' sake. I'm okay with what they're doing. I'm not freaking out about it. We know what this team is. This team is going to show what they are at the end of 82 games. But I don't see how you can see. Yeah, I know Nico's worried right now, but Chris Dunn's development, how is this possibly a bad thing? Even with Lauri Markkanen, you do wonder. Lauri Markkanen's missed the last couple of games, and Zach LaVine's coming back in a month or so or whenever, however long they push this back. But yeah, I'm okay with this. They're going to be near the top of the draft still.
Yeah, you just brought up Chris Dunn, Joe. I think that is one of the things you can take from this going forward, the fact that, you know, he is still relatively young, and he was one of those pieces that they got from Minnesota that you could ostensibly build around. And of course, he did struggle as a rookie last year. But I don't know if it's the scheme or having more freedom or what it is. But he looks to be a completely different player than he was last season. And they hit that shot late last night. So I agree that when it's all said and done here at the end of the year, they're still going to be in the top five. It's a pretty deep draft. I'm not freaking out about it or anything. And in regards to Nico, we've seen him go through these stretches before where he looks lights out, like an unplayable player, but it doesn't last. And I don't think this will last. I think he's just coming out with a burst of energy given the fact that he hasn't played, a month and a half of the season while everybody else has. So he's probably got a little bit more juice. So Nico will fade away like he always does. I know he's been telling us, but I have to see it for longer before I believe in him. But really excited to see what Chris Dunn's been able to do.
Yeah, I don't think there's any sustaining what he's doing, meaning Nico. And I'm like Kevin, Chris Dunn is exciting. I'm excited to see the whirlwind slam dunking. But, you know, I still don't trust the guys making the pick. So whether it's number one, number two, top five, who are these guys? Are any of these guys in college right now the next piece? What I've seen so far with these guys at the top of that list in the draft, they're like Markkanen. They still need the guy. And I don't know where the Bulls are going to find the guy if you're actually going to compete for the East. Might be a playoff caliber team in a couple of years, but where's the guy? Where's the big toe coming from? And would the two guys making the decision on who the big toe will be know what a big toe looks like?
That's a great question.
It's a big toe.
Sergeant Hulka.
Yeah.
If the White Sox do trade for Manny Machado, should they keep him or flip him?
Look, Ken Rosenthal said they gave Baltimore their best offer. If you're making that best offer, top 10 player easily in Major League Baseball, young player, you better bring your A game when it comes to that 72-hour window, which I assume you requested to get a deal done. You're not going to sell Manny Machado. You're not going to bring him in for a year and get him away from free agency just because, you know, you're nice to him and the clubhouse is, you know, a good clubhouse. You got to bring your A game when it comes to a contract offer. You have to blow him away to the point where he picks up a pen and signs and says, you know what, Chicago's not a bad place. He's buddies with Albert Almora, you know, so, you know, he can hang out with his buddies, assuming the Cubs don't move Almora. But if you're going to make the premium offer to get the guy, then you keep the guy. Because I don't know that, you know, you flip and get Gleyber Torres and prospects from the Yankees. I mean, in the big picture, okay, fine. But, you know, this wasn't a consideration for the Orioles even maybe a month ago. All of a sudden, this just came out of nowhere that that they were going to entertain offers and not let him play out his contract. So that, as much as you might want to stick to your plan, I think the change in Baltimore's plan has to change your thinking. And if you're actually in the poker game, then I keep the guy. Because, you know, we always talked about Chris Sale and the 20,000 people would come out to see him pitch. That's once every 4 or 5 days, and that wasn't nearly enough. Manny Machado put people in the seats, and it would excite your team, it would excite your organization, and it would excite the, you know, the fans. So if you're going to make the trade, I'd keep him.
Well, I think that he would be an unbelievable person to build your team around. I think that, you know, somebody texted in, like, this would be Rick Hahn's Rizzo. This would be, frankly, more than that. Rizzo wasn't a three-time All-Star. This guy's a three-time AL All-Star, a two-time Gold Glove winner. This is a really great, talented player that you could now have a rebuild around, a featured player in a rebuild. You know, you have the second baseman, you'd have the shortstop or third base, whatever the hell he decides to play. You would really go a long way toward seeing something come to fruition. I like some of these young pitchers, and it's, we'll get into that conversation. But if you have a chance to get a player of this caliber, a guy this young, a guy this good, who you can build around and be a centerpiece and be a marketing campaign, you're saying it. He would bring people out to watch him play. More so than a pitcher would.
Absolutely.
I mean, we've been down that road before. They had the best pitcher in baseball, and you still couldn't fill the ballpark when he was playing. I mean, this is a really good, talented, great Major League Baseball player that you could begin your – you would see something come to fruition here quickly if you had a centerpiece like this. I think it's a great idea. I think if you make the move, stay with him, keep him. And now maybe you're talking to free agents next year. You got guys coming up. You got a player like that. Come, hey, why don't you join the revolution too? Yeah, I think it's an easier conversation.
It's difficult to say without knowing how he performs in a new environment, what the market is at the time for Manny Machado for a couple of months to a playoff team. Have you had any extension talks at all? Scott Boras was saying that the Nationals and Bryce Harper have had preliminary conversations. Are you doing any of that? But it doesn't really make sense to me to make this big move. You trade some of your top prospects, you get them here, and then to flip them? It's not a bounce back situation, right, where you bring in a starting pitcher, works with Don Cooper, then you get some value, a team looking for pitching at the deadline. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So if you get him here, if you make a home run move, you keep him. And it, just thinking off the top of my head, it's not a lot of times where you see a player traded and then that player goes back to the team that traded them. So if you make the move, I would keep Machado.
Yeah, I agree with you, Joe. I would absolutely keep him. You know, you guys have all talked about how good of a player he is and how young he is. You know, he's younger than Chris Bryant. He's much younger than Anthony Rizzo. This is a guy who's already got 140 career home runs, plays Gold Glove defense at third or at short, wherever you put him. If you're able to trade a couple pitchers for him, because that's what I guess Baltimore is looking for, and the White Sox have a lot of pitching depth in their minor league system. If you're able to do that with the guarantee that he'll sign here long term, you know, here's a guy you can give 10 years and it won't kill you at the end of his contract, because like I said, he's so damn young. So if you can somehow get his word or a word from his agent that he is going to stick around here, sign a long-term extension, I say you absolutely try to make this move and you do keep him.
Yeah, I mean, keeping him would be the only thing that would make sense. I mean, he is not a prospect anymore, right? And Mully, you talked about it.
He's the goods.
He now, Kopech might be the goods. Giolito, personally, I don't think so. Could be like back at the end of the rotation. Okay, fine. But then I guess you have to ask yourself, if you were to flip him and then you're flipping him to the Yankees, is that what it's about? Is it about getting that guy over to 35th and Shields? And like, how much more would he, what would the fans' excitement level be, Machado versus Torres? How
Machado?
Okay,
yeah. I mean, long term,
you know better than I do, so that's why I'm asking.
Long term,
because that's what it is, right? That's the flip. The flip is the Sox bring him in, they send him to the Bronx. Then it's got to be Torres, right? And then he comes to 35th and Shields.
Centerpiece of a deal.
So,
right?
Sox fans, who do you want more, Machado or Torres? And you got to say Machado because, as you pointed out, he's the goods. He's proven it. He's actually done it in the big leagues. And that's big boy baseball in the American League East, right? So if you get him, you keep him.
But if you think he's Gleyber Torres as Machado 5 years from now and you got him under control and cheap for all those years.
That's the question that you have to ask yourself, right?
I'm asking. You got to have somebody to build the team around.
I'm with you.
This would be an unbelievable thing to do. I was looking. Richard Justice, who's a pretty good baseball guy, 2 days ago he wrote a column about the 9 teams, the White Sox not one of them. So, this would be a shocker for baseball.
There's no sense of me even trying to answer questions about this evening, okay? So, sorry about that. Have a good night.
Which pitcher, Michael Kopech or Lucas Giolito, can the Sox least afford to trade?
Well, if it's an either-or for Baltimore, do you get excited over the guy who was doing football player workouts? You see the Kopech stuff.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, NBC Sports Chicago has a camera down at his training facility, the big time.
He didn't jump out of the water, though, so
107. 107. That's what he's going to hit. He's going to change the way we view pitchers.
He's already hit 105 on the gun. But you know what? Long-term, guys like that end up with issues. Is Lucas Giolito, whose velocity has dropped from mid-90s to 92, 93, but yet has probably more of a repertoire in terms of his is he the better pitcher where the other guy's going to wow you for how many ever, you know, 2-3 years, maybe longer? But if you know, everyone's going to be saying Kopech's the guy, I think long-term Giolito is probably the guy you least can afford because I think he's going to stick around for a long time the way he pitches. And he just doesn't depend on blowing guys away with the triple-digit fastball. So, you know, I get the idea that everyone's going to dig the chicks dig the long ball and baseball fans dig the velocity, but I'm going to go with Giolito.
Yeah, I trade Giolito over Michael Kopech. I think Kopech has potentially a higher upside than Lucas Giolito. I like Lucas Giolito a lot. I think that he's a big, handsome guy that speaks so eloquently, you could build an advertising campaign around him. You know,
he could be on soap opera.
His mom's on a soap opera. He's had media training. He is really, I don't know if we've talked to him enough, we should get him on this show, but he is absolutely a guy that that you would want kind of representing your team. Is this a stupid idea? There's a part of me that wants Kopech to stay because he's one of the pieces in the sale deal. And I want that sale deal to have meant something to the White Sox. And I want to see a guy that I'm in love with his potential more than I am whatever he's doing right now. And I like the idea that you got him vying against Chris Sale at some future point in my mind for a Cy Young. That's the kind of upside he has.
Yeah, Peter Gammon said the other day at the winter meetings that the Boston people he talks to still says Kopech's going to win a Cy Young.
He's going to win a Cy Young. Yeah. So I think that the upside of him would, and the fact that he came in that deal, I think if you end up, you know, throwing the idea that somehow Adam Eaton could land Machado, that would be awesome. That would just be awesome.
Wow.
And I'm in love with that idea. It's so crazy. But I really have that in the back of my head.
I'm not trading Kopech. That's the guy.
For Manny Machado? I mean, think about it again.
You know, I'm hanging on to Kopech. I'm
I don't think
Giolito.
You have to.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you don't have to, I'm not trading Kopech. Just the higher ceiling. And in these rebuilds, you need certain guys. If you can find an ace, a guy that could be a Cy Young contender for a long time in the rotation, you absolutely keep him. Some scouts have had concerns about Giolito long-term, not now, but long-term, whether a guy that's 6'6", 250, he could be a starting pitcher for a long time. I don't think the Sox have those concerns. Just something to think about moving forward. But yeah, I'd much rather move Giolito of the two.
Absolutely would rather move Giolito. You know, as impressive as he was down the stretch last season, which was good to see, Kopech is on another level in terms of his potential. And he's not just a fireballer. You know, he's got other pitches. He was able to strike out 150 guys, actually 172 guys in just 134 innings last season. You can't do that with just one pitch. And if the Orioles are looking for starting pitching, you know, there is Giolito, there's Ronaldo Lopez, there's Dylan Cease, there's Dane Dunning, there's Alec Hansen, there's Carson Fulmer, there's Zach Birdie. The White Sox have so much pitching depth that you don't need to move the number one guy, and that is undoubtedly Kopech. You hold on to him, even if Baltimore plays hardball a little bit here, you don't go the full mile there. You got to hold on to Kopech.
I like the idea of holding on to Kopech, but I guess I'm curious. Who do you guys think, if it's Kopech and who and Giolito, and like who's the next guy with one of those two guys? Now, they've said that it's
Carlos Rodon.
Both those guys.
Ronaldo Lopez, maybe? I mean, I'm serious.
I'm asking.
Turn Adam Eaton into...
But see, here's the thing. Baltimore says they want major league ready starters. They don't want 3-year down the road guys. They, you know, so is it... I mean, now do they start looking at your...
What about...
Do they have major league ready guys?
Carlos Rodon.
No. What about... What's his name? Fernando Tatis Jr.
James Shields.
Excuse me.
Oh, boy.
Me. That's what I was trying to...
Big game, James? Yeah, I don't think so.
Come on.
It's a good deal.
Yeah, we get James Shields, a bucket of balls, and...
And Dan Duquette's got to be really drunk.
Yeah. We'll give you some moonshine.
You know, that's a great question, Mike.
Are you disappointed that the Cubs haven't made more moves at the winter meetings? What's the holdup?
Who has? I mean, you know, Marcelo Ozuna. Okay, that... You know, 3 days in, that's got everyone buzzing and talking. And you know, Mike Montgomery, you know, being upset about his role with the Cubs is getting as much buzz as anything the Cubs have done or anyone's done at this point. So I'm not disappointed. They're going to do something.
Didn't Theo look slightly annoyed by that?
Oh, he was more than slightly annoyed. He said he's a player in good standing. It's like,
yeah, it made you wonder. He didn't want any part of that at all.
I mean,
apparently, he's a friend of the player talked to a media
and turned
member.
Into a tweet. Here's the one he really he said, and apparently that's why he was made available by Seattle. Like,
yeah,
like they might have heard this before too, and so you know. Imagine what the conversation is going to be with the player, or it's already been with the agent.
He was in a mood. He was needling St. Louis too.
Like,
You know, but they got money. We knew they'd do something. We'd be beating them.
And by the way, they haven't been in the playoffs. So I mean, he gave them the full backhand.
But he did it in a very
diplomatic, complimentary.
If you put it through the computer, it was like,
okay, good. They had to do something because
they are no good.
The manager's under fire. Yeah. I mean, look,
we're kicking their ass.
Yeah, they're gonna get something done here. They obviously know they have to add another starter. They're going to do it, whether they can pull a Chris Archer out of the hat or I don't think Alex Cobb's coming again. I thought that would have been done but he's still out there, right? No one else has signed him, so the market is interesting. Starting pitchers are not getting what they thought. And what about Scott Boras saying it was an intellectual decision for the Cubs?
Yeah,
I mean, and then he went into playoffville again. He went down Hackney thing.
He seems like he's scrambling a little bit.
Oh, he's scrambling. Because he wouldn't answer questions about length of contract you know, he keeps bringing up the contracts, Scherzer and Verlander, and but when asked specifically what it is that you're looking for, he's not going to tell you because it's not out there.
And he sent the binder to all the owners.
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Yeah, but I mean,
how many of those guys are really going to stop and let's see.
Yeah,
let me go through some of these numbers.
So I'm not disappointed because no one else has done anything. You know, Jed Hoyer said this is the slowest winter meetings he's been a part of, and everyone else is waiting for, you know, because the Stanton deal was supposed to get everyone excited. You know, you were supposed to, there's going to be the dam breaking. Everything was going to follow right after that. It didn't happen.
I'm not disappointed with the Cubs. I think they know exactly what they have to do, and I think they're going to get it done. What's amazing to me is every bloody rumor in baseball, they're involved in it. They're a part of it. They're talking to everyone. There's always different names coming up, very interesting names. Oh, really? Look at that. And I think that the holdup is that, as you said, the market is a little bit slow and people aren't moving as fast as they normally do. I think the Cubs are ready to jump. They're ready to sign and they're ready to trade. They're just not going to do anything haphazardly.
They're not setting the market.
They're not setting the market. They have set the market with Brandon Morrow, but that's not something that's debilitating in the future or anything like that. I think that these guys are just really good at what they do, and I think that they scare people a little bit when it comes to making moves with them, and I think that maybe that's part of why they're not getting as much action as they want, but they're ready to move. They're ready to do something. They're going to do it. I think that they're going to get a couple more things done here that we're excited about. You know, a lot of times we put these bizarre deadlines on things, like it's the winter meetings. They're leaving on Thursday. Quick, get the deal done. There's still technology. You can text a guy while he's at the fan experience with his kids. Deals happen in all places and at all times, and they're ready to deal. I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah, every day it's been rumor after rumor after rumor. And until the Ozuna and Kinsler moves yesterday, really very little action. So I'm not disappointed yet. But as far as big moves, what's the big move for the Cubs? There isn't a position player. And we know they're going to add a starting pitcher or two.
That's the big move.
A bullpen arm or two. But the big move would mean front end of the rotation, right? I don't really see that.
Well, there'll be somebody that's in the top three, right? I mean, they'll have to do that. I mean, maybe the big move is Mike Montgomery.
Oh, boy.
He's now the new number one. You happy? Here's the ball. Let's see what you do.
By the way, speaking of deadlines, going back to the Machado thing, Dan Duquette said by the first of the year, teams have to figure out what they're doing. And so that it almost sounded like he gave himself a deadline of a couple weeks here to get this thing done.
And that's reasonable, but I'm saying I think we put a deadline of the winter meetings on this stuff, and I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah, and Montgomery, by the way, he finished horribly. So that's the surprising part, that was a real conversation going into the end of the year, what they were going to do with Montgomery. And then he had a really bad finish. So I don't know if he's expecting to be announced the fifth starter, but that's not happening if you couldn't tell. But no, I'm not disappointed.
I'm not really sure what the holdup is. The season doesn't start for a few months. We've got some time here. And hey, you've got a starting pitcher. You've got ostensibly a closer in Brandon Morrow. So they're filling holes. They're just doing methodically. They're not going to jump into anything and do anything foolhardy. That's just not Theo and Jed's style. They are more calculated, more intelligent than that. And I think by this time, if they haven't earned the benefit of the doubt in your mind, then you've got some issues because they're both brilliant baseball men.
Yes, of course. I'm impatient and want everything now and yesterday. And yeah, I'd like some more things done. And I'm like Theo. Christmas may be called off if the Cubs don't do something quick.
No, we're bringing Christmas back. We're saying Merry Christmas again. You didn't hear? First time in 8 years.
And the horse you rode in on.
Happy Hanukkah, everyone.
Light a candle.
That's the funniest part of this business in general, right? Sometimes you get asked questions that there's no easy answer to.
Can the Bears 2017 draft class build on last week's game versus the Bengals this week versus the Lions, or will they take a step back?
Yeah, I think this is an interesting game. I think the Lions have to win it. I think the Bears, I don't know that the 2017 draft class took a big step forward last week. I think it was more they were the guys left to be on the field, and they had to be on the field, and it was a draft class that wasn't intended to be used in that fashion. So hopefully they can find some consistency with those guys. I would imagine that other guys need to step up as well. And Jordan Howard is a member of the 2016 draft class, and he has to have a big game for them to win. So hopefully they can keep up what they're doing, but I wouldn't put a plugged nickel on it.
Yeah, look, the draft class, the rookies, you're excited about Tariq Cohen. You're obviously excited about the quarterback. I'm more excited, or more interested, rather, maybe not excited, but interested to see if Kendall Wright backs up his talk this week about, being 7-11 and most recently saying that the Bears don't need new wide receivers. They need more targets. I mean, now he's starting to talk like a diva wide receiver, and I like it if you can back it up. So I need to see Dontrell Inman, to see if he's got any future here, if he was just a desperation move to improve the wide receiving core. Can you do that against a defense that's not nearly as depleted as Cincinnati's? Can you, the wide receivers are running free more often than not last weekend because I think Cincinnati was down five starters. So I'm more interested to see the wide receiving core, what they give you the next 3 weeks before you start figuring out Kevin White and moving forward. If you're going to use a wide receiver, which I think you will, a first round draft pick, top pick on a wide receiver, I think you still need to do that. But I want to see if some of these guys can actually back up their talk.
They could. I don't see it likely. They're facing a desperate team in Detroit. They are still in the playoff race at 7-6. Everybody's talking about the Packers possibly getting in. I find that a very difficult role, and it's going to be tough for the Lions to pull that off. There are 10 teams in the NFC going into the last 3 weeks that are 7-6 or better. So it's going to be fun to see which four teams do not make the playoffs here. But the Bears going on the road after victories this year, we saw them go to Green Bay early in the year. They got smashed. It was over right away. They lost at New Orleans. This team has had a lot of struggles on the road. They could, but I don't really see it going to Detroit.
You know, I know we'll save the picks for tomorrow, but I do like the Bears this weekend. You know, Detroit might not be as depleted as Cincinnati was, but Detroit is just worse defensively than Cincinnati. You know, 27th in total defense, 363 yards they're allowing per game. You know, obviously, Matt Stafford is susceptible to turnovers. You might see Eddie Jackson be able to make a play, and if you can get Trubisky and Shaheen hooked up again in the end zone, that's something that you'd like to take with you going forward as well. So I do think they can keep it going on Saturday.
Baby Gronk. This is the game.
Chill.
This is the game, the second most interesting game left of the four, in my opinion, that I'm looking forward to because the Lions have to win. I do have to say, though, we can talk about this later if we want, I hate that this is a 3:30 kickoff on Saturday. You talk about just throwing a monkey wrench into your whole weekend. Ugh, the NFL, again, everybody likes pork. Nobody likes a pig. I do expect big things from the rookie class.
What about those cute little, like...
pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered.
What are those little...
Everything goes better with bacon.
Teacup pigs. You know, people have them as pets.
I've got a pork roast.
Pot belly pigs in my
sink right now at home.
The teacup pigs.
All righty.
Google it. They're adorable.
That's a nice note to go out. We'll bring in Bruce next. We'll talk about potential trades with both teams in town. Big baseball moves. How does the Cardinals' improvement affect the Cubs, if at all? Are the Brewers ever going to do anything? Aren't they trying to get better? We'll find out what Bruce has for us, and you know he's got it all. We'll talk to him next. It's Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
This segment was brought to you by Taco Bell, introducing Taco Bell's new $5 Cravings deal. A cheesy gordita crunch, a five-layer burrito, a crunchy taco, cinnamon twist, and a medium drink, all for just $5.
We are going to be celebrating Merry Christmas again.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.